All right, if you have your Bibles today, please open them up with me to the book of John. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And today we are going to start in John chapter 4, starting in verse 3. We're going to be looking at the woman at the well, the woman here in Samaria. Now we have jumped ahead a little bit. We're going to backtrack next week to make sure that we're staying in chronological order. But I want to make sure that we cover this for today. So look with me at verse 3. Jesus left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Lord, Heavenly Father, I pray you bless this time. Let us, Lord, feel the presence of the Holy Spirit near us, Lord God, so that we may drink as well from this living water. I pray that you would instruct us in your righteousness. Revive our hearts and our minds today and help us to see you a little bit more clearly, Lord. I pray that you would convict our hearts and our minds so that we may change to be more like you today. And we thank you for the opportunity to gather around the word. In your name I pray these things. Amen. Well, today as we celebrate Mother's Day, we look at a woman who is searching for something real, something that is long-lasting. And she's had her ups and downs in life. She's tried different things and different relationships to help her find happiness, and she has yet to find it. But as we see in the text today, she meets Jesus and finds that her happiness does not come from within, but it comes from the gift that only Jesus can provide. So let's dig a little bit deeper into our text today. Again, look with me back, starting at verse 3. Again, Jesus left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now, notice here that Jesus needed to go through Samaria. Now, if we look at the map, we'll see that this is kind of odd, because Jews and Samaritans did not get along. In fact, they kind of hated each other. Most Jews, if they were traveling from Judea to Galilee, would have crossed over the Jordan River and gone east. They would have gone east across the Jordan River, and then they would have gone north, which would have taken them an extra 2 days of their journey to travel up to Galilee by going around Samaria. Now, Jesus does not need to go to Samaria in order to get through Samaria to get to Galilee. But there is a need for him to go to Samaria because Samaritans need to hear the gospel. Now, the text says that this is about the sixth hour. Now, according to the Jewish timetable, this is noon. But according to the Roman timetable, this is 6 p.m. Now, we don't know exactly which time it was, but I'm more inclined to believe that it was 6 p.m. and not noon. And I have a reason for that. Number one, nobody drew water out at noon because it was too hot out to be carrying the water around. Now, when the women would go down to draw water, they would go early in the morning while it was still cool, and then they would go out later in the afternoon or early evening as it cooled down again. Because understand, when they went out to draw water, they would lower a rope with a pitcher of some kind or a pot attached to it, which was clay. They would dip it into the water and they would pull it back up. It would be really heavy. They would fill their clay pots and they would either carry it or they would put it on their head and carry it that way. But it, no matter, either way, it was heavy. And they would have had to have gone back into the city where they live, and it would have been a good deal of walking distance. By the time they got back, they'd be so thirsty, they would drink, you know, a quarter of the water just from that walk. So it just wasn't profitable to go out during that time. So you would go out early in the morning, or you go on out later in the evening. Now, in Bible times, we see a lot of times that women would go out and meet purposely earlier in the morning, and this would be the time that they get to catch up with each other, find out all the news of what's going on around, and so on, and be able to fellowship. And then you would have a little bit about that in the evening time, but not as many came out in the evening to draw water as did in the morning. But I believe that this is in the evening time because it would have been too hot. And the second reason that I'm thinking here is that after the woman talks with Jesus, she goes back into the city and called out all the men of the city to come and see Jesus. But typically, if this was around noon, the men would be out tending the flocks in the fields, or they'd be out working somewhere. They would not be in the city. But the fact that they're in the city tells you that it's later in the day. They've already finished their work. They're back home now. All right, look with me at verse 7. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Now the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." And Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." Now the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have said well. I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." And the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." All right, so we see, first of all, the woman is surprised that Jesus is even talking to her, since she has identified him as a Jew. Now, Jesus identifies that he can give living water. And the woman here is surprised because the well is deep. So how would Jesus even get water out of the well without a pot or a rope or something to get the water out with? But she doesn't understand what Jesus is saying. Jesus responds in verse 13, "Whoever drinks of the well water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give will never thirst again. Now think about it for a moment. Whoever seeks the pleasure of this earth is left wanting. They will continue to desire more and more. But for those who seek after God's spiritual blessings, God continues to give and give, and we never run in short supply. The only time that we run low is when we are not coming back to the Lord to be fulfilled, but seeking other ways, other distractions that this life has to offer. Now, how does the Samaritan woman respond? She wants to try Jesus's living water. Well, then we see down in verses 16 through 20 that Jesus identifies that the Samaritan woman has had five husbands, and the man that she is with now is not even her husband. And the woman responds that Jesus must be a prophet. All right, look with me at verse 21. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Now, in the Old Testament, we see that Jerusalem is set as the place to come and worship. But once Jesus dies on the cross, the new covenant begins, and man can worship God absolutely anywhere in the whole universe. In verse 22, we see here it says, "You worship what you do not know." So Jesus is identifying that the Samaritan worship is the wrong kind of worship. They worship idols and false gods, and these are not things that God has ever approved of in worship. Any worship that is not directly about God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit is unapproved worship. Jesus here in verse 22, he says, "You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Now this is simply Jesus pointing out that the Jews have been called on by God to present God's message to the world, and also that Jesus comes from the lineage of the Jews. Now, the Savior of the world comes from a Jewish heritage. Now, here in verse 23, Jesus points out that those who have genuine worship do so through Jesus, because Jesus is the truth of God, and those who worship also do so in spirit. Now, this new form that God has opened to allow the Holy Spirit to come live within all believers and worship through him. This is the only way that God can be worshiped, in spirit and truth. Now, looking down at verse 25, the woman identifies and says, "Listen, I know the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he's going to tell us all things, okay?" And Jesus responds here, "I who speak to you am he." Now, the Samaritan woman, she's picking up on what Jesus is saying and identifies that she knows that the Messiah is coming. When he arrives, he will tell us what we need to do. And Jesus responds to her that he is the Messiah. Now let's dig a little bit further into the text. Look with me at verse 27. "And at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, 'What do you seek?' or 'Why are you talking with her?' The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to him. Now, why it's strange that Jesus would be talking to the woman is because in the societal structures of the time, for a man to speak directly to a woman, even when she was alone, came across as an inappropriate thing to do. Now, God takes the things that are ridiculous in our culture and cuts through them to get right to the point. And Jesus was not disobeying law. He was introducing real spiritual life. All right, look with me at verse 31. Now, in the meantime, Jesus' disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But Jesus said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore, the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." Verse 37, "For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors." Now, Jesus' disciples return, and they encourage Jesus to eat. And Jesus responds that he has food that they don't know of. So then the disciples' natural reaction is they start looking around, and they're asking, who slipped Jesus food? Did somebody give him food without us noticing that? And Jesus goes on to explain his meaning. In verse 34, he says here that "my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." So then the disciples' natural reaction when they're like, "Hey, who gave this guy food?" and they're all looking around, Jesus points out here and explains his meaning. He says, "God has sent me, God the Father has sent me to do his will. And that's where my primary focus is, to do God's will and to finish it. I may not always have the opportunity to sit down and have a meal when everybody else is ready to do so. My life may look very different than yours because I am working to accomplish God's will for my life." Now, Jesus here in verse 35, he uses a farming analogy. Now, he identifies that even though it may still be another 4 months until the farmer's harvest, it's because you are looking at the wrong harvest. Stop looking at the physical and start looking at the spiritual, because the spiritual harvest is ready now to be harvested. The people have come and want to hear the good news that Jesus has to share. Now is the time to put the effort into reaping the spiritual harvest. Well, here in verse 36, Jesus continues to explain that those who prepare the fields and plant the fields and those who reap the fields are all building for themselves treasures in heaven. And they have this in common. They may be laboring at different points, but they are laboring together. Now, this church, Campbell Bible Church, has been here since the 40s. Every pastor that has come on has taken the work of someone else that has plowed the spiritual fields and planted for the harvest, to work on feeding the fields with nutrients and sow the fields. Now, we all have everyday opportunities to encourage someone with a truth from God's word. And when do we do that? Because we are watering the fields. We are working in an area that someone else has worked on before. Sometimes we are getting the field ready. Sometimes we are planting. And someone else comes and waters. Now the important thing is that we continue to present truth. And we let God prepare the harvest. Now the disciples were short-sighted. They only looked at the here and now. Now their bellies desired food. So all they thought about was filling their bellies. Now, Jesus, however, looked at the full picture. Although he was tired and hungry, it was more important all that time to give the spiritual food to those who were hungry for it. It was more important to feed people spiritually than to feed himself physically. All right, let's continue. Look with me at verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in Jesus because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed with there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this thing is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Now the Samaritans believed who Jesus was, not because of what he did, but because of what he said. Now, I believe there are a few takeaways that we have from our text today. Number one, our focus should be to do God's will and to finish it. To finish the task well. Number two, we should not get distracted. It's easy to get caught up in distractions, and we all get distracted with our families, our jobs, and our lives at some point in time. Now, our focus many times comes off of God, and we just want to tune out everything else. We, like the disciples, get caught on feeding our own selves and our own desires over the will of God. Now, distractions pull us away from what we know we must get accomplished. Our chief distractors in life are both our flesh and Satan. And they work hard to pull us down and pull us away from what is most important. Number three, in doing God's will, we need to be helpers and encouragers. We need to be helpers and encouragers. Now, that is going to look different for everyone. And for the married women, I think of the Proverbs 31 examples of being a helper and encourager to your husband and to your family. But the husband also needs to be an encourager to the wife, to care for, to lead, and to encourage. We also need to be encouraging and helping those outside of our own households. We have an important message with the world that God has given us to share. It's important for us to do so if we are to finish his will. And Jesus shows us through his example today how important it is to love others and make sacrifices to show others who God really is. And Jesus describes a living water today in the text. Jesus's living water is partaking in life through the Holy Spirit. If you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ today, I would encourage you to seek Jesus's living water. A life with Christ gives you eternal life. You will always be filled spiritually with Jesus. Now, the Samaritan woman tried so many different avenues to find happiness. She tried things. She tried relationships. She even worshiped idols and different gods. And everything fell short. She was unsatisfied with what life had to offer. And it wasn't until she met the Messiah that her sins and her wrong desires were revealed to her. Now, we will never be satisfied in life when we search for different things and different relationships to make us happy outside of the will of God. God abundantly supplies all of our needs. God is the one who reveals to us our wrongs, not to hurt us, but to show us what we need to change in order to have a real, genuine peace through God. Now, things won't bring us long-lasting happiness. Relationships won't bring us long-lasting happiness. Events or jobs won't bring us long-lasting happiness. Idols or false gods will not bring us long-lasting happiness. Even trying out God for a season will not bring us long-lasting happiness. Now, a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ, seeking His will over our own will, does bring us long-lasting happiness. If we want real joy in life, we need to seek the one who provides real joy. We need to seek Jesus. Now, Jesus is the Messiah, the one who came to this world according to His own free will so that He may sacrifice His life on earth to teach and train others to follow His Heavenly Father. And He also sacrificed Himself on a cross to pay the sin debt for all of mankind. John chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Now, Jesus came to sacrifice Himself for a world of people who did not know Him, who sinned against Him, and who were His enemies. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Now, we all have an opportunity today to start a relationship with Jesus Christ. How do we do that? Well, we need to admit that we're not perfect. You need to admit that you're not perfect, that you're a sinner. Repent of your sins, which means you make every effort to let them go and leave them behind, and believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that He died in your place to take your sins away. Now, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 10 says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Jesus is your best choice to a life of happiness and fulfillment. Don't waste your life away searching for that answer. Don't spend all of your time looking for just what you want out of this life. And many times we plan something and we say, you know what, I'm looking for something in particular and I want it no matter what. And you know what, we don't always ask God, "God, would you bless this?" Or we don't ask Him, "God, do you even want me to do this?" Instead, we say, "God, this is what I want, and you're either going to get on board or you're not." And we may not say that in so many words, but that's our attitude behind it. We say, "This is what we want, so this is what we're going to work to do." And we try and we try and we try, and no matter what, we do not have lifelong happiness. Sometimes God gives us that thing that we're looking for a time, and it doesn't help us. It hinders us. It brings us down. Sometimes we search and we search and we search for the right answer, and still nothing comes to fruition. And we can get really upset about that. We can even go to God and blame Him for things. But the reality is when we're looking for something outside of the will of God, we will never be content. We will never be able to have full and true happiness. We get love, We get our happiness, we get joy from living in the will of God. I would encourage you today, if you don't know for sure that if you die today, you'd be in heaven, that you get this right. That you review the verses that I just gave from John 3:16 and 17 and Romans 5:8 and Romans 10:9 through 10. I would encourage you to study these verses and pray. Pray to the Lord. Admit that you're a sinner. Give up on those sins and let them go. Be willing to make the change for Christ. I'm tell you what, you're going to have tremendous blessings after that in life. I'm not saying you're going to be a billionaire and all your problems will go away, but you'll be able to face the trials and temptations of life with Jesus Christ by your side, and you will see tremendous spiritual blessings come from that. We only have joy when we live inside of God's will. Your best choice of fulfillment is living for Jesus today. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, we thank you that we have a choice, that we can either choose you or not choose you, Lord God. But Lord, we have that opportunity. We are not just robots here on the earth. We have free will to make those choices. Lord, we thank you that as we take the opportunity to say, yes, I will love you, I will follow you, I will live for you, and I will let go of my sins. Lord, help us to be real with those. Help us to be real with that whole focus, that idea, that determination to turn from our sins and turn to you. Help us to make these things right before it's too late. Now, Lord, I thank you for the tremendous blessings that you continue to bestow upon us. Give us a good rest of our week. I pray, Lord, that we would come back and focus on your word, changing to be more like you, loving others like you, studying your word, knowing you on a much deeper level. We thank you for all these things, Lord God. In your name I pray. Amen.